outline right here. All right, so we gave assignments out. I almost wanted to say homework, but you guys are adults. I'm not going to say homework. I'm going to say assignment. Doesn't that sound better?
Okay.
And you're like,
whatever.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, probably if you tell everybody else, you know, at Bob Hall, he gives his homework in his class. We won't get anybody else coming in. So say assignment. And just flower it up with everybody. Go, hey, we just have such a great time in there.
Sometimes Jason doesn't give us homework. It's like, shut up.
Okay. And the only reason we're going through this class is because to help our relationship, our personal walk with the Lord get better. That's my goal. And somebody asked me, well, couldn't you have picked a different month besides February to start it at? No, let's do it all at one time. Okay? So I got to get into my brain because I get focused on one thing, and I don't want to do anything else till I get that thing done. And I'm terrible about that. So because I'm thinking, you know, this is the most important class in the church, right? And we're in the most important Bible ministry in our church, right? No, but I mean, so I have to calm down, breathe, Bob. We're going to, not only do we do Bibles, but we do this, we do that, and we're going to help everybody else in their ministry. Okay. Interesting. So last week I had you guys, this was the homework, and I mean assignment, if you guys don't remember. The assignment was to read Ephesians, and hopefully you were reading it every day. And hopefully you read it more than once, but, you know, I'll take once even. To read Ephesians and then write out chapter 1. Now, was that very easy to do?
No.
It's hard, wasn't it? Just writing one chapter out, it's hard. It's like, you never wrote, your hands are cramping, you know. And now you're sitting there thinking, what about these guys translating the Bible? You know, that's wild. So it's to write it out. And as I said earlier, I'll get a list that I need done. And if I lose my list, I still kind of have it in my head. So writing this out, hopefully the Holy Spirit is giving you some details. And when I'm reading Ephesians, I tried to read Ephesians every day. And when I'm going through it, the Holy Spirit's just shoving cross-references, other verses that match verses that I'm going through. I don't know how your brain works. Probably not like mine because it's all over the place. But it's like when you read the Bible, you should read I read a verse, I'm like, oh, well, that reminds me of this verse, or it reminds me of that verse. And so, again, we're in Paul's writings to the churches, so a lot of these verses we're going to see in different places. Okay? Hopefully you guys are seeing that. And so, I want to kind of go over the questions we had. We were supposed to answer the questions. I don't know if that got out. So real quickly, let's go to page 5 on your handout if you brought it from last week, lesson number 1. Mine's a little different than yours. Okay. So, number 1. What was the result in your life from writing out scripture any particular day? Did it give you, and let's go through the bullet points. You guys have this list, correct? Did you find out anything new in the book? Now, I don't know if you guys did these questions, or if not, I'm just going to ask you, did you find, well, first of all, how many of you wrote out your assignment? I wasn't going to ask you to show me your hands. I want you to show me your stuff. Okay. Awesome. You guys got it. You guys did awesome. Okay. And so, originally I was supposed to write out the whole book, but see, I'm not going to be that detailed in here. We're going to take it slowly and get through it. Okay. So we wrote it out. And so, did you find out anything new in this chapter when you wrote it out? Anything stick to your mind? Anybody?
Well, to me, I was praying for others for spiritual growth.
Okay.
I just noticed that Paul was praying for them to grow in the Lord.
Thank you. Okay, no, that's good. Anybody else have anything for that?
I thought it was really, in the introduction, the first few verses, it's amazing how often Jesus Christ was mentioned. I mean, it's just not once, but he's mentioned so many times. Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first three verses. There's a lot.
Okay. I also noticed the Father's mentioned a lot, too.
The Father and the Son, yeah, the separation there.
So, and a lot of times...
They have the Trinity in there, technically.
What's that?
Yeah, they kind of have the Trinity in there, because the first three with all... he mentions God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us all spiritual blessings. But we get those through the Holy Spirit.
Sorry.
All spiritual blessings.
Yes.
Not just a few, but,
all.
And he doesn't say the spirit, but all.
Okay. So, did I ask the second one yet? Did you see anything by writing out that you do not see by reading it? Because, I mean, you can read things, but when you write it out too, you'll see other things. Kind of the same thing that we're talking about. Okay.
Well,
anybody want to add to that?
There are like 14 verses where there's no period. There is. There's 12.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. So I also like, there is a lot of
punctuation more than anything. And
there is a lot of semicolons and colons in this. And it's like, I've never used that many in my life as in this chapter.
Yeah. Yeah, I had asked Susan, I said, what's the difference between a colon and a semicolon?
We had to look it up.
Yeah, we had to look it up.
That's been too long.
To me, it's nothing. I don't know. It's just another comma.
But I mean, every little detail, jot and tittle in our Bible make a difference, don't they?
Yeah.
It's interesting. But yeah, so those things are popping out at you when you see this.
And by doing that, when you see a comma or a semicolon or whatever, you try to stop, what is that there for? So you're looking at the next verse. What does that have to do with the verse before? Because a lot of times there's a break or like there's a... You know, so you tend to read the verses a little differently or try to focus on why is that there. It could shift meaning for a little bit and then go back to it again on the previous sentence before the comma or whatever.
Right.
You know,
so,
there's different, you know...
Right. So, you know, we use commas a lot, right? I do. But I don't use many semicolons and I don't use many colons. So, I'll put you two on the spot since you looked it up. So, what's the difference between a colon and a semicolon?
One of them, I can't remember now which one.
The colon explains the verse before, or what was before, right? And the other one is a list.
Okay, it's more on what follows after the colon and the semicolon.
So
it's explaining what was before.
Well, the verse that comes after the colon is more of an explanation for the verse that preceded it.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, and then that was with the colon or semicolon?
That's what it said, the colon. I would have thought it's different, but the other one...
The semicolon.
Is more of a list. Like,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
One is kind of a complete break, though, right? In the colon, a complete break also? Okay, so again, we're going to have to back study those out, but there is a difference between them.
Yes. Well, just like in verse 13, you have a colon, so you have, so it says, in whom you also trusted, after, comma. After that, you heard the word of truth, comma, the gospel of your salvation, colon. In whom, which is Christ, also after that you believed. Then it goes back to comma again. Then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Maybe I read the wrong one. Anyway.
Colon in there.
Yeah. So you have a colon in there, and it shifts on who you believed or who the previous of why explained. I can't explain it, but
okay.
There's too many. I'm not an English major at all.
That's right. Neither am I.
I didn't fail at English.
But you know what? It's we get the dictionary out, right?
Yeah.
So we know there's a difference between colons, semicolons, and commas. Carrie, do you have anything to add? Because I know there are a break there, and like you said, one of them kind of describes what's before it, and one of them describes something a little bit different afterwards. And so we probably need to go back and rehash that some more. And I'm not 100%. All I know is it's there, and it's where do we find it? Why is it there? So we need to go check that out. Okay. Yeah, so we need to go back and kind of look through that. All of us do. Okay. Because there is a reason why the Holy Spirit put it there. And so the more we see things like that, the more we get those in our head, the more it's going to help us in the book. Okay. So did it help you remember any of it? It was the next bullet point. Writing it out. Did it help you remember anything else? I mean, I think the more we write things out, the more it will. This is chapter, you know, we're just writing chapter one out, and we're just, you know, if you're like me, you're just like, I'm trying to get this done.
Yeah. Make sure I spell the words right.
Yeah. And I'm like, yes, I got to keep going back up. And so to me, I have to stop and try to, it's better for me, instead of just doing like one word at a time, to do a phrase. Because when I do the phrase, then it sticks in my brain. It's like a sentence I'm trying to stick in my brain. Better than just, you know, piecing it out with one word at a time. Even though sometimes I got to get
well,
that.
I can start it with like
and half the time
words, and then it wasn't like phrases, it might have been part of a sentence. Only because I was afraid I was going to misspell it, so I'd have to keep looking back. But
you didn't know how to spell all the words? I didn't either. Okay. We should have paid a lot more attention in English, shouldn't we? Okay.
What punctuation goes after what I'm writing? That's what I kept focusing on. And then my Bible, I'm like, is that a colon or a semicolon? Can't tell.
Okay, so hopefully we'll start getting all this down a little bit. Okay, did God speak to you in any way as you were writing it? Did God show you something in the chapter when you were writing it out? Anything different? But, you know, like yes, we mentioned earlier, Jesus Christ is mentioned quite a bit. God the Father is mentioned quite a bit. This is mentioned. So did God just kind of show you something? Was reading and writing this chapter out applicable to any situation in your life last week? Did this pop up in your mind when you're going through your week?
A thing that kept popping up in my mind, and I will admit that I haven't figured it out yet, but from the very beginning, he's writing to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful. And I'm like, why is he bringing up why is there two groups of people when to me there would be both, the saints?
There's two explanations. So what would the explanations be?
The ones, he explains it there, the saints that are at Ephesus, they're those saints.
Okay. The two things
that... Why does he call one saints and one... There's
two explanations because I thought about the same thing. One is the two of them are explaining the same thing. And the other one is you can be a saint and not be faithful. Okay? So you may be saved, but you're not walking it.
You're not bearing no fruit.
You're not bearing fruit.
Right.
You're not walking. You might got, I got, you know, you can, somebody might say, you're talking to him and it's like, I've accepted Christ. I accepted him when I was in high school or grade school and they're 60 years old and you don't see it. You didn't even know that in their life. There's no fruit in their life. And so it's like, and if you truly accepted Christ as your Savior, you can be saved, but you could not grow. You could just be sitting in that same spot. And so he's saying there might be a difference. We have some saints here that are faithful, and we have some saints here that are not faithful. That's one explanation. And the other one is they are both describing the same person. Now, which one is it?
I think it's the first one,
probably.
To be honest with you, because if you look at Corinthians, he reproofed them. You know, so he's basically, his whole thing, in all his epistles, he ain't afraid to call you out. And that's kind of what he's doing very gently, like, hey, you guys wake up, you got some unfruitful people there. They're believers, but they're unfruitful. But I'm also going to talk to you saints, And so when they read that letter, they're probably like, what did he mean by that? And then when he went to go visit, they might have talked to him about it, and he explained it to them. At that point, I don't know.
That's very, very possible. Roger.
I think it may be both.
I'm saying it's probably both.
Because we have two natures. Sometimes we're faithful. We all fall short and have our moments where we're not.
Okay. I can get that too. So there's kind of a little more change to it. You know, like you said. You know, sometimes we're walking the walk, and sometimes we're not. But yet we're saved. So you can be saved and not faithful. Or, like I said, he could be describing both of them as one. So, I don't know. That's one of those questions that we'll have to ask him when we see him. Paul, what was you thinking of when you wrote this down? I don't know. But the point is, it makes you think about things like that. So it's making you writing it out, hopefully, and reading will do this, but I think when you write it out, you just end up with some more questions that maybe you would just skip over if you're reading it. So, did it help you endure any trial in your life? Did you see something in this chapter that helped you in a situation in your life? It kind of goes along with the bullet point before that. Did it help? Did it come up in any conversation? Okay. And did the Holy Spirit remind you of it any time of that day or later in the week? Did the Holy Spirit kind of pull something up that you wrote out that day during the rest of your day? Did it get you to think about what you're doing?
Paul's prayer in the verse 17 through 19. Yeah. You know, I've always prayed that prayer. Not, you know, consistently, but that every time I read Ephesians, and he does it again, I think, in chapter 3 when he has, or chapter 4 when he has another prayer, the smaller one, but that one has always been one that stuck out to me every time I read Ephesians. And it always reminded me to keep praying for that spiritual, just like what Gary said a little bit ago, about as far as praying for other people for that. You know, every time I come across that, like, oh, there it is again, you know. It's a constant reminder to pray. Mm-hmm. So it's...
Okay. And what you just said basically reminds me of Colossians. Let's turn over to 1 Colossians. Because I think we see the same thing.
1 Colossians?
Yeah, 1 Colossians.
First
Colossians.
First
Beth.
He's been chapter 1.
That's disappointing because I memorized 2 Colossians.
Well, that's good because they're the same. So, Colossians 1:9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you might walk worthy." So that's where I got a verse for this class. That fits right in with Ephesians. So almost every book that I see that Paul's writing to a church, he's basically saying, I'm praying for you guys, and I'm praying that your spiritual maturity grows. And then he lists things out. And so when you see it here, it may remind you of something else. And so it did me, because ever since I went through First Colossians a year ago, that just stuck in my mind. It's like, man, that should be our prayer to all of us and other churches or anything else. How many of you in here, now, I don't know if we've ever done a discipleship trip in this church. Have we? When we went to KCBT back in the day, we took discipleship trips to other churches to teach them how to do discipleship.
This church has done that.
In the past, we have? Where'd we go?
You'll have to ask Brian. It's been a while.
Okay, because I know Carrie and I went to a church in Oklahoma City. And I know the reason that we are connected with the church in New Philadelphia and the church down in Decatur, Alabama, and the church in Cartersville, it's because KCBT, back in the day, took a group of people to their church and taught them the discipleship that, like, we have, and they just exploded with it. And here's the sad part. Where we came from is not doing that. But these other churches took it and ran with it. They're doing probably better than we are. I mean, they're doing it just as good, if not better, than we are. And so our desire is to get up. So my point in bringing all that up is, if you've ever done that and you come back home and you made friends with some of the people that were there, I've actually written to those people that might write, as it's back when we used to write. I mean, we text and email now. I mean, so this has been 30 years ago, Carrie, you went to Oklahoma City. There was a few people that wrote me letters and asked me questions, and I'm like, I'm sitting there answering their question, send it back in a letter, and I'm sitting there thinking, that's not much different than Paul. Paul's writing them letters, giving them biblical instruction. We can do the same thing. And we can do the same thing in an email with somebody. So the thing is, we need to be just like Paul in helping other people walk, grow. And that prayer, basically, is the same thing that Paul has. That should be our prayer. That should be our take with the little kids or anybody else in our church. We need to help people to grow in their spiritual walk with Christ. What Paul is trying to do to the church with the Ephesians, the Colossians, all the ones he writes, we should be doing also. Okay? So, did the Holy Spirit remind you of it any time of the day or week? So, let's go to our next handout, because I'm going to keep going. Or our next... Let's see, do I have another one? Is there some more questions? Yes. So, questions on page probably 6 that you have. So, do you have that page? 5 and 6.
It's on
the back side. Okay. So what verse did God give you for each of the 7 days? So God may have just given you a verse. Now this is a little different because I'm modifying this whole book study, guys, because we're slowing it down from what we would normally do. Number 2. The result of the verse was in your life that day. So is there anything you read in that chapter that helped you out during that day? Was that chapter, like I said, applicable to any situation? Did it help you endure any trial that day? Did it come up in any conversation? Did the Holy Spirit remind you of it any time that day or later in the week? That's just kind of regurgitated what I said before, didn't it? So, let's keep moving. So today, instead of doing a lot more things, I'm going to give you another assignment to go along with this chapter. So, I'll just give you a couple things before I get to the assignment. No, this is the assignment. You got your pen and pencils? Let me give it to you. Number 1, I want you to go read through chapter. You've already wrote it out. Keep reading through that this week. Decide on a key verse for that chapter. If you have to sum that chapter up in one verse, you come up with that. Okay? Then I want you to come up with a key word in that chapter.
Are we talking any chapter here?
Nope, chapter 1. Chapter 1. Okay, so you need a key verse, a key word, and then I want you to come up with a key phrase in that chapter. Now, I will say this. You may not find a key phrase in the chapter, but you may find it several times. I do want a key verse and a key word, but if you can find a key phrase, you know, something, you know, a short sentence, and I would give you one, but it would be the answer, so I don't want mine to be yours. And then I want you to outline the chapter. So what do you mean by outlining, Bob? Divide the chapter down into sections that seem to go together. Okay? You sit under Pastor Brian and he has an outline of the passage that he's going through, does he not? I want you to do the same thing with chapter 1. There is no right or wrong answer to how you do this, but you've got to be able to back up why you have written down what you wrote down. Okay? So, you know, I may have Roger come up and say, what is your key word? And I may have Mark come up and say, what was your key word? They can be different. But, and both of you can say, well, this is why I chose this. And it, as long as it makes sense and you can back it up, you're both right. So you might hear a preacher preach on a passage or a chapter in the Bible, and the next pastor comes in, he preaches on the same chapter. They could be totally different as long as they're in the Bible, because that's how cool our Bible is. It is so deep. You can basically, you know, come up with two different themes of that chapter, or they may match exactly. And there's no wrong or right reason if you can say why you believe that. Now, if you just say, well, I just thought it sounded good for this chapter, that's not going to work. You've got to say why, okay? So the assignment is a key verse, a key word, key phrase, and then break that chapter down into sections, outline it, okay? So we're going to do, I'm going to give you a few things real quick. Oh, I got 10 minutes, so we have time. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to just read the chapter again. Okay? And it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay?
Sorry.
And actually that, who is, and I have a note here in my Bible, and that says, that means you and me. Same thing. You know, when we read this book, when we read Paul's books, they're to the church. Who's the church?
Us.
We are. We can put our name in these churches that he's writing to. Okay? So again, you could be you can be saved in this church, and you can be saved and be faithful in this church, or they could be together. So, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now we should all be saying hallelujah, amen, because that is awesome. Okay. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Hey, we just studied some mysteries. And so, maybe I'll give you another assignment. Which mystery is he talking about right here? That's extra credit if you want to do that. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And let me stop for a minute. Now again, I tell you guys, get a wide margin Bible, and when you do homework like this, I mean assignments like this, stop that. On your own, or you're reading it, and you go, you know, I like this book. I just want to study this book out on my own. And you're going through this, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. That verse matches up exactly with this verse over in Colossians or over in Corinthians. Then you can jot it down. And it's, now that's your reference. You know, how many of you have references in the center line references in your Bible? Not all Bibles have center references. And not all center references
are the same,
or make sense to me. Sometimes I look at the reference, I'm like, I don't know what this guy was who put this in here, but I'm not seeing it. But when you put your own notes in there, you go, oh, or you put Hey, this matches Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Just put that there on the side. Now you have your own little note that you made yourself that just references what you're reading. Okay? And then once you go through your whole life, you'll have your own reference Bible. And you can sell it, make money. No. I wonder if we get to heaven in Christ. This is interesting. I had thought about this. Carrie's shaking in your head. You're talking too much, Bob. And Christ goes, I just want to see your Bible. I don't know. Okay. It's back to where we're at. That we should be the praise of His glory, verse 12, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, does anybody have a verse that would fit that? That would reference that? Go back and look at 1 Thessalonians, and there is a 1 Thessalonians, right?
Right, yes.
Chapter 1. Yeah, basically, that's how you get saved. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's like a list of getting saved there. Mm-hmm. You hear the gospel, you believe this gospel, you receive the gospel. And if you go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I have that written on my column. And you'll see it in that chapter too. Okay? Verse 14. Okay, so you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of His glory. I'm going to be like Brian. I'll just preach on that verse for a while. Wherefore, I also, after that I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, again, you keep seeing God in this, Father in this, over and over and over, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So again, you could cross-reference that. 18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceedingly greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Now, do you guys have a verse that says, another verse that says, and God hath put all things under Christ's feet? I'm just thinking at the top of my head. Where's that mentioned in the Bible? That God has given all power to Jesus.
Revelation chapter 11. Yeah, I was thinking Revelation.
Turn over to Matthew 28. You're probably right. Matthew 28. Hold your hand here. Let's go to Matthew 28, and let's see what I can come up with.
Is it 1st Matthew or 2nd?
Either one will work. 220, 221, they'll work. Okay, so Matthew 28, 19 and 20 is the Great Commission, right? But back up to verse 18, and somebody read that.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Okay, would that be a good cross-reference for what we just read? Be perfect cross-reference. I don't know, maybe it isn't a cross-reference, I just didn't look. But, so when you see things like that, when you're, you know, studying and reading things out, God's going to pop in other cross-references, write them in, because it's your own personal book. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Now we could go back and get some other cross references because Christ is He's the head of the church, right? Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So again, get a wide margin Bible where you can write your notes in there because it's personal to you. Now, a lot of times we use the center references They may not be personal to us. Write our own down. Okay, so that's the book. So how am I going to break this down? So I'm just going to give you an example of what I'm going to write down. I'm going to put verses 1 through 6. I'm going to break it down to that section. And I'm going to put on here that we are, and I'm going to put a heading on it. I'm going to put that we are redeemed for God's will. So, I'm saying that verses 1 through 6, that you can basically put it together and you can put a title for that by calling that section Redeemed for God's Will. But I'm going to have to be able to back up why I did that. And so that's just me. Now, whether you would break it up that way, you can do whatever. I'm just giving you an example. Now, we are redeemed for God's will. That's in there. And that may not match exactly. It may say redemption. But basically, that's my little section of the outline. Okay? And then I've separated the next verses from 7 to 14. And I'm trying to be cute here, so I'm going to use the same word. Redeemed for God's purpose. Okay? So, I'm going to have to be able to show in verses 7 through 14 that we have redemption. Why? For God's purpose. For God's will and God's purpose.
Okay, what is the difference between will and purpose? In your mind, I mean, why
God's will is for us to be conformed into the image of who?
Jesus Christ.
Christ. God's purpose for our life is more. God's will for all of our lives is the same, to be conformed into the image of Christ. But God's purpose for your life, Mark's life, and my life
are different.
So one is, God's will is for all Christians, and redeemed for God's purpose is for individual application, if that makes sense. Okay? And so, and then the last one I have is verse 15 through 23, and we are redeemed to know Christ. That's how I broke. Now, you know what? I could go a year and go back through this again and come up with a different outline. So, but again, the outline you come up, you just got to be able to say, this is why I'm saying this. That's why, you know, that's what's so neat about the pastors in our church. I'm not necessarily putting myself in this spot, but like Brian, you ask him a question on Wednesday night Bible study, if it's an answer question. You ask him a question, he doesn't say, well, this is what I think, does he? He opens up the Bible and says, let me show you what the Bible says. And then, same thing with us. So if somebody asks, when we break this down, what am I getting out of this? What is the truth in this that God is revealing to me? Same way with all of you guys. Now, again, I got a little cute. You have to work at getting things to match. You notice a lot of times Brian's will match. Well, that's just being cutesy. And I'm being a little cutesy on this one, but this, you could take the redeemed out of all this. You could put redemption on one. You could put whatever word you see in there. In other words, just break it down into sections and be able to say, this is what I've titled that section. Okay? And there's a name for getting everything to rhyme and reason and all that. And I'm not always big into it, but once in a while I do get cutesy. But if you want extra credit, Mark, have everything start with the same letter.
You must need it.
I'm kidding you. Okay, so homework. Keep reading Ephesians. Decide on the key verse for chapter 1, your key word, key phrase, and then outline it. And then we're going to talk about it next week when we come to class. So I want to go through this chapter instead of trying. Now, once we do the chapters, then we'll go through and say, okay, so how's really the whole book lay out? And this is just a step for us to get there. Okay? And at the end, we'll have, okay, so what's your key word for the whole book? And you can look at the ones you've looked at in every chapter, and you go, well, wait a minute, I see that same word in three of my chapters. So that's my key word for the whole book. So we'll just take it in sections and trying to get work through the book. So again, keep reading through it, key word, key phrase, and then outline it. Because everything we do will just help us with our personal walk. So, and I'll give you an example. It's whatever you do is what you check out. I was a tile man for years and years and years, so wherever I went, I had to check out the tile. I had to go into the bathrooms. That's what the bathroom tile looked like. Didn't I? Terry's like, I can't take you anywhere because you're looking at the tile in the bathrooms. When we went to Branson, Soji Tabuchi was way down. He's the guy that had the piano. His bathroom was awesome. He had some awesome tile in there. He had a pool table in the men's bathroom. And so you check stuff out. So a couple weeks ago, we put some new Bibles out in the auditorium, the black covers with our logo on it. And there was a guy there by the name of Gary, sees it, and he picks it up, and he's checking it out. Terry sees him, and I see him. I said, he can't help himself. He wants to see how it was cut, and was it put together? Was it upside down? I don't know what he's checking, but he's looking it all over, and we're sitting there just watching him. And it's like, the more we study our Bible out, the more it's important to us, the more we're going to really dig into it and see the importance of it and how it fits in our life. And that wasn't everything I wanted. It's like in the middle of all that my illustration went out of my head. But the more we get into God's Word, the more you're studying it, the more it's going to be important to you. And the more you'll use it in your life. You hear people all the time that say, every decision in life, everything that you need in your life is found in this book. And other people like, what? You're stretching, brother. You're stretching. No, everything in our life, if we run it through God's Word, we'll be better off. But you just got to know what God said about it. Because if you know what God said about certain things, it's going to help our decisions. Right? So let me stop right there and we'll pray because I got to go. So let's pray, okay?